Save big money on everything at Menards. Take control of your outdoor space with Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. The Pump and Go container is ready and easy to use. With the Pump and Go sprayer, you don't need to mix your own liquid, and you get up to 10 minutes of continuous spray. Save big on Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
When you want a real lasting change, you have to change the driving force. Because we have 6 human needs. Certainty. Uncertainty. Because think about this. If you were certain every moment of your life, you know what they're going to say before they're going to say it. But if you knew what someone's going to say before they're going to say it, you know what's going to happen before it's going to happen every moment of every day. In the beginning, it'd be cool. But after a while, what would you feel?
Bored.
Out of your mind bored. Mm. So God, in her infinite wisdom, gave us uncertainty. Third need is significance. They need to feel unique. You need to feel special. They need to feel important. Who do you think has that need?
All of us.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Some people do it by earrings. Some people buy tattoos in certain areas. Some people buy their art. Some people buy the way they dress. Some people buy their money. Some people be more generous. Everyone finds a way. Okay? Anytime you meet a belief, an emotion, or a behavior meets at least 3 of these 6 needs, you will become addicted to that thought, that feeling, or that behavior. It could be a positive one or a negative one, but you will become addicted to it. Fourth need, connection and love. Everybody wants love. Most people settle for connection because they've had love at one point. It was so painful when it ended, they decided to settle for connection. How can you get it? You can get it by going for a run and feeling connected to God of the universe, nature. You can get it by prayer. You can get it by being with some friends. You can get it by making love. You can get it by getting a dog. There's a million ways to feel connection and love. Some are positive, some are negative. Some people get connected by their problems. They're always comparing problems. You ever seen 2 people comparing, but I had this. Well, you think that's bad. Let me tell you mine. They're arguing over significance and they're connecting through their problems. The secret to it all are the final 2 needs. These are the spiritual needs, not religious, but spiritual. And that is, we all must grow. When you grow, you feel alive. And if you don't grow, you start to die inside. But we grow so we have something finally to give, which is where meaning comes in life. If you're missing growing and contributing, you will not feel fulfilled. There's the science of achievement, there's the art of fulfillment. They're 2 different skills. If you want an extraordinary life, you need both. If you look at a great athlete, what makes a great athlete? There's that sense of not only you practice and you got it in your nervous system, you're incredible in your strategy in the sport, but there's the state you bring to the table. So I'm sure you've seen an athlete, a basketball player in the NBA about to shoot a free throw, a kicker in the NFL, and they go jogging out there and you look at them and you go, they're going to miss it. Mm. And sure enough, they do. Everyone's had that experience. How did they know? They saw the lack of certainty in their body, right? And so when you try to get yourself to do something you've never done before, it produces that kind of uncertainty. So I always tell people, if you want a breakthrough, I think of it as 3 things at the most simple level to create a breakthrough. A breakthrough being, maybe there's an area that you've not gotten to where you want to be and you've promised yourself you're going to do it and then you don't follow through or you fall back and you're frustrated with yourself. Most people have had something like that, but one day they did break through. They did finally say enough of this. Yeah. And that day, that moment, they changed their relationship. They quit what they're doing. They started something new. And what I found is there's 3 parts to that breakthrough. And if you want to break through in any area, these are the things you got to do. But I want to give you in reverse order real fast. Okay. So reverse order is most people, they want to get make something happen. They focus on the strategy. Now, I'm a strategist. I get paid to be able to show someone how to save a decade because the right strategy in business can save you 10 years, right? But as much as I love strategy, it's not what I start with people. The reason is because the natural question is, I want to achieve this, but how do I do it? There's nothing wrong with answering the question how. It's just the sequence of these that are critical. It's like if I told you this is someone's phone number and you have the right numbers and you dial the wrong order, you're not going to reach them.
Right.
If you knew the vault numbers, but you put in the wrong order, the vault doesn't open. When it comes to a breakthrough, most people are focused on the strategy, the how-to, and the problem is when you go to how to do something you've never done before,
It brings uncertainty.
Yes.
And uncertainty creates hesitancy, and hesitancy kills momentum. Hesitancy kills performance. Hesitancy kills, you know, most things that really matter in your life. So it's not a strategy problem. People think it's a strategy problem. It's not. The real problem is they have a story. So think of these three S's. Mm. The story is locking them in place. The story is what you said, a belief. But when you stack a set of beliefs together, you build a story. And you tell it to yourself over and over again until you believe it. So the story is, I've tried everything.
Yes.
And I'll say to them, really? Everything? How many things you tried? I've tried thousands of things. Then I go, okay, name them. And they'll go,
I've tried two things.
Yeah, exactly. These two things that don't work, I did over and over again, right? You know? But as long as you believe that, a belief is the feeling of certainty about what can be done or can't be done, right? Who you are, who you're not. So when you go first for how, you have uncertainty. I call it the tyranny of how. You don't want to get to the how first. You got to deal with the story before that. If you change the story, you can get a strategy that works. But the order people work on is strategy. Rarely pay attention to story, but the one before that is where we need to start. It's your state. So that state of certainty, that state of passion, that state of conviction, that stage of absolute determination, right? That state that every great athlete has, any great leader has, any great business person has, if you have that state, it will change your story. And it'll change what you're able to do strategy-wise. So the most important thing to do is change your state first. That's why most people fail to achieve what they want. They have not become masters in their own mental, emotional state. And you know, in our events, that's my number one piece, because without that, you won't get lasting change. You'll get temporary change.
Yes.
Once I get enough state, I can change the story. That's easy. Once I change the story, if I don't give you the strategy, you'll find a strategy.
Yes.
You'll make it happen. You'll find a way. You'll make the way. You've lived this as an athlete and as a businessman. So I look at this and say, the problem is most people do it in reverse order. When they go in reverse order, they stop the process. They don't know how. They freak out about the uncertainty. Their story doesn't support them. And now they're in a lousy state. And so they try something for a little while and never follow through.
Yes.
So that's the breakthrough I do. So it is a belief system, but I want you to see it's a little more complex than that. It's the state. What am I supposed to do? Your state will determine it.
Uh-huh.
So if you're fearful, he who states is lost.
Yes.
You're gonna justify. If you're more aggressive and there's something you really want, you're going to, you know, it's like, I got to make this thing happen, right? It's a different piece. So you pick your beliefs based on your state unconsciously. Each stage has predictable challenges and opportunities. And the more you can know the pattern in advance, the more you can anticipate. Anticipation is power. Reaction puts you in fear. People say now to me, they'll say things like, well, with AI coming and all these changes occurring, like when people lose their jobs, when there's no certainty outside world, how are people going to have certainty? And I go, let me give you a clue. There was never any external certainty.
Yeah.
You've had rented certainty. You've convinced yourself hypnotically that you're certain because you had a job and you had this. None of this. You walk across the street and get hit by a bus, right? There's so much that can happen. So we hate uncertainty so much and we want it so strongly. But if we link it to our job or to an income or to a person responding the way we want to, then you're going to live a very fearful life. If you train yourself to feel that internal certainty, which is what you did, and anticipate as much as possible, and you know, no matter what, I'll find the way, that is a different identity.
Yes.
You've gone to a level of not just how to deal with things, but the identity is, I'm the guy that will find the way for my kids and for my family, right?
Yes.
And that is freedom. No one escapes massive, massive stress. You either use stress or stress uses you.
Yes.
And the way you use stress is, you know, the whole phrase they'd say, you know, when you're going through hell, keep going.
Yeah.
If you keep going, three things happen. Number one, you discover how strong you really are.
Mm.
It's the only way you're going to find it is push through it. And then each time you do it, by the way, you get stronger and stronger. Second, you figure out who your real friends are, not your Facebook friends.
Yes.
Because when all hell's breaking loose, no one sticks around except real friends. Huh? And then the third thing, most important thing, is it gives you like almost a little immunity to future stress because it's like a vaccination of it almost. So there's great value in that process. Now, if you make it through those steps, now that internal certainty inside you just builds and builds and builds. You see the patterns you've not seen before and it frees you.
I'm curious, from those who are at the top of their game to those who are struggling day by day, what is the number one limiting belief that most people have that keeps them from accomplishing what they want?
Well, it's different depending upon what level of life you get to, but people usually bump up against, I'm not enough. But the idea that maybe I'm not enough for this level that I'm going to, or the level I want to go to in my life, whether it's they might be great in business, but they're not doing great in their relationship, or they're great in their relationship, but they're not good with their kids, or they're good with the kids, but their body's not where they want to be. They got all the money without the body, right? And so I think most people bump up against that fear that something in me is not enough. And the deeper fear is that if I'm not enough, I won't be loved. Mm-hmm. And so it's an unconscious fear. So most people push it aside by focusing on what they're good at and not taking care of those other things till they bite them, the relationship, the body, whatever it is, the kids. Or they come up with a story about, well, I don't need to be good at that, or that's just not my nature. And so I'm often called in to help somebody, you know, sharpen their skills. But you're right. Usually there is a limiting belief of some sort. So I couldn't say there's one, but if I was saying the most dominant one, it's like, I've never done this before, so how the hell am I going to do it, right? There's uncertainty. When people ask me, like, what is the one common denominator of people that succeed on a massive scale around the world, I'd always in the beginning say, well, I love wicked intelligence, but I know a lot of very smart people that can't fight their way out of a paper bag in their relationship or their finances. You know, they're smart in one area and not another. But the one that is absolutely, completely accurate is hunger. The hunger to be more, to do more, to give more, to share more. Somebody who has a hunger that doesn't die, not a hunger to make a certain amount of money or a hunger to achieve, you know, a swimsuit size, but a hunger that's unquenchable. Those are the people that you know their names because they have an impact. So it's like, whether it's Richard Branson who's in his 70s, he has the same hunger today as when he was 16 years old in that crypt in your country coming up with Virgin, right? I mean, same level, let's give it a go, right? He's got that piece, you know? To me, that's the gift. And stoking your hunger or awakening someone's hunger that doesn't have it, that's a real gift. And that's one of the gifts I think I've tried to refine within myself and help people with. Because I believe there's three decisions you make every moment of your life. You're making them right now if you're listening to me, and so is your audience. The first one is, what are you going to focus on? You're going to be focused on what happened yesterday, what you're going to have for lunch, what I'm saying, how it relates to you. There are millions of things you can focus on. But you don't experience life. Experience the life you focus on. And most of us are distortion deletion creatures. Our brains don't take it all in consciously. It's too much. So our brains delete things. We distort things. We generalize things so we can make it through our lives. And so if you don't control your focus, you react. And the minute you focus on something, your brain has to figure out, what does this mean? Is this the end or the beginning? Is this person dissing me? Are they challenging me? Are they coaching me? Are they loving me? And whatever meaning you give it produces emotion. And out of that emotion, you make the third decision, what am I going to do? Everyone gets called on the journey. Most people try to resist it. But that journey, that's what the call is. It's a call to grow. So I'm big on change your story, change your life. And I'm big on understanding the narrative of where you are in the story of your life. Because if you understand where you are, it gives context, it gives meaning, and it doesn't make you feel overwhelmed. Change is never a matter of ability. It's always a matter of strong enough reasons, of motive. If you got strong enough reasons, you can do just about anything. And so I really believe that the secret to life is to find something you care about more than yourself that gives you that pull motivation. And then you're never going to lack for energy. You're never going to lack for passion. You're never going to lack for anything. And you're going to have a life that's extremely meaningful. No, life is calling you. What are you going to give? Not just what you want to give, but what people need. And so my focus is, I give people what they want, but my goal is so I can give them what they need, which is a life that has more meaning. You know, you're going to battle with internal things within you and external things, but if you keep going, you're going to eventually slay your dragons and you come out in the hero of your own life and you have something to share that isn't bullshit. It's not something you read somewhere. It's something you've lived.
Something you want.
And everybody can feel you've lived it because it's a different level of ownership, you know? And then, by the way, as soon as you do that, it happens again. You know, you're called on another journey. You have a new level of challenge that you need to go on. It, you know, it just never ends, but it makes life really, really beautiful.
How can people who are always very hard on themselves learn to build up their self-esteem a little bit more?
I don't know if self-esteem is the answer. You know, I think I don't think it's bad to be hard on yourself, as long as you also celebrate when the victories happen. But, you know, so many people will tell you, oh, I have poor self-esteem because when I was a kid, people said this to me and that to me. And it's convenient that we remember those things and not the positive things that also occur, obviously. But I think it's more important is to realize that self-esteem is earned. It's only earned by you with yourself. You're not going to get self-esteem because everybody praises you. Someone can tell your whole life that you're brilliant, you're a genius, you're beautiful, you're handsome, and you not believe it. Someone can tell you, you know, you're a piece of crap and you're never going to become anything. And there's a part you can say, I'll show you, as many people have. And then they develop drive out of it, right? So it's really, self-esteem comes from doing incredibly difficult things where you know you pushed yourself. It's not virtue signaling. It's not telling people about it. It's what you know inside your soul is true. And the more you do things that are incredibly difficult, and especially things that are meaningful, meaning they're not just about yourself, the higher that esteem would be. I think the most important thing for self-esteem is to find something you care about more than yourself. If you find something you care about more than you, you won't be thinking about yourself all the time, and all your self-esteem just goes out the window. The real question is, what do you want? If you want an extraordinary life, my definition of that is life on your terms. Some people, it's three beautiful children, a white picket fence. Some people, it's building a multi-billion dollar business. Somebody else, it's writing poetry. Instead of looking for somebody else, it's like, okay, what do you really want from your life? And aligning yourself with moving forward towards what you really want. If you can do that in a way that also you feel serving others simultaneously, there's a sense of meaning in life that can't be replaced by self-esteem or praise or compliments or being nice to yourself. And I don't think it's bad to be tough on yourself. I'm pretty tough on myself, I'll be honest with you. Being overly tough on yourself usually comes by making comparisons that don't make sense. You're comparing to somebody else's life that has a totally different path, a totally different experience. We all develop in different stages and different things. We all want different things. But eventually you wake up and say, it's good to be strong with yourself. But beating yourself up just lowers your energy. And when your energy gets lower, you produce less. And you don't have the same level of joy. You don't have the impact that you want to have, nor do you have the excitement that you really want to have. So I look at it as something that it's worth earning your own self-esteem, but it's really not the secret. The secret is find something else you obsess about more than yourself, and you'll have a level of energy that will compel you over the long term. When I began with a fuel, which was like, I'm going to show them, you know, it was anger that drove me. You know, I'm just going to show you type of thing. But that fuel doesn't last. And then the next fuel that people tend to use is, I got to succeed. But there's a little fear underneath that that's driving them, which is like, what if I don't? Versus a knowing, you know, it's like, if you give your all every day, your gifts will make room for you. And it's like having a knowingness that things are going to be fine. And then there's the next level, which is you start to know who you are, and you're not trying to prove it to yourself or other people. And it's just, you just want to help. It's the difference between what I would call push motivation and pull, right? Push is, I'm going to make this happen. And it takes tremendous willpower. And I know you have plenty of willpower. I do as well. But there's a limit to willpower. But there's no limit to pull. Pull is when there's something magnificent that you want to serve, something that you've got an obsession for, to create or to do or make happen. And that doesn't, you don't lose that energy. You don't lose those components, and you're able to laugh and enjoy along the way. I think it's important to realize wherever focus goes, energy flows. It's corny, but it's true, right? In fact, maybe an easier way of saying it is, we don't experience life. None of us do. We experience the life we focus on. So in any moment, what's wrong is always available. So is what's right. So it's not about being positive, it's about being intelligent. You know, you gotta look at the impact of what you're believing, and you gotta look at and say, you know, where's my focus going? I can always be upset about something. I can always find something to be joyous or at least grateful for, which leads to joy. And I think it's learning to discipline your disappointments, you know, not allow them to grow and to move on and to use whatever life has given you. Keep getting around things you're not used to and let something hit you. And something's going to strike you. Something's going to wake you up. Something is going to make you feel more, desire more, want to give something to life as opposed to just live your life. That's why we've got to grow.